Our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Rec and Culture Division of Thunder Bay, bringing free events to the waterfront and all of Thunder Bay. Check out thunderbay.ca/events for more info and follow them on Facebook. Joey's Restaurant, a tasty little place for seafood, located at 595 Arthur Street West. Visit them Tuesdays for all-you-can-eat fish and chips and Thursdays $5 fish tacos. Some conditions apply. The Thunder Bay Blues Fest. Log on to tbayblues.ca to keep up with all the news on Thunder Bay's largest annual music festival, entering its 19th year in 2020.
Thunder, thunder, thunder! Thunder Geeks are live! Hello, Thundarians! I'm Andrew.
I'm Rob.
I'm Megan.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Chris.
And we're your Thunder
and
Geeks.
We're your Thunder Geeks.
Welcome again to another very special episode. Of course, if this is your first time tuning in, hi! We're your Thunder Geeks. Each week we like to get together, talk about the nerdy stuff we've been up to this week, what's going on in our community, and just try to make it laugh for an hour and a half, brought to you by our lovely station, 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. Okay, so, I was just stretching it out to figure out, I was mostly trying to figure out where to go next, as we have two roads that you gave us, Rob, in the beginning here. One was just talking about our expectations of WandaVision, and the other was what we last minute decided was our celebration of International Women's Day. You telling us about a absolute BAMF in ancient Greece.
Yeah, so there's an ancient Greek poet, Sappho.
So I don't know about Sappho. So do you know any examples of Sappho?
I do not, but she's one of the first poets who, instead of telling stories about, like, you know, great odysseys and all this, she wrote poetry about herself.
Oh.
And this was actually, like, a big game changer, because everyone's like, yeah, we tell stories of, like, the ancient wars and the gods, and wait, you're allowed to talk about yourself? And so she would write poetry about love. But because all of her poetry about love was directed towards other women, ancient Greece was like, nah, this woman can't be in love with just women and be successful without a husband. So they gave her a husband. And her husband's name was Kirklus of Andros, which literally translates to from Manville.
But her husband doesn't exist. She was a single, maybe, queer woman who just wrote about how much she loved other women. And it's interesting that it's kind of the first, like, example self-poetry where it's the analyze.
Andrew, you want more proof that this woman, because there's more about her. She wasn't just married to a man from Pittsville. She also came from the island, and I'm not making this up, of Lesbos.
Oh.
So that's actually where the etymology of the word comes from.
That's beautiful.
So yeah. So if you ever need an alias for a fake boyfriend or husband, Kirklus Andros.
Perfect.
That's what you that's who you register hotels under, Kirklus Andros.
For Richard Dudeville.
And then you get that one person who for some reason is working at a hotel with a major in Greek literature. You know, we're also going
to
use that degree.
That's how you wind up as the concierge of a fancy hotel, as you get in a degree in ancient Greek literature.
And then
that's the career path of that.
Yeah, so I watched a video from Overly Sarcastic Productions where he's talking about this poet. I'm like, I didn't learn anything about her actual poetry. Mm-hmm. I just remember learning the fact that her husband so I hope our listeners learned something new today.
Thank you for that fun fact, Rob. I didn't know we were going to get that today. Sometimes you just bring us weird presents, and thank you. But something I want to talk about. So maybe spoiler warning, but we're going to try to not to spoil it. I want to just talk about, like, WandaVision and stuff, because there's been, like, a mixed reaction off the ending here. And I'm really happy with it, but then I see everyone's mad, and I see the reason they're mad. I don't really... I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened, where people are mad at the ending of a show not because of what they did or didn't do. It's more that they had an idea of what was going to happen, especially because fan theories went crazy on WandaVision.
Oh my gosh. No. It was honestly insane. I heard things coming out of people's mouths and I'm like, oh yeah? Okay. Like, I don't know. I just, for myself, I don't like theorizing while I'm watching a show. Like, sometimes I get ideas where I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably like foreshadowing, or like, oh, that's neat. I can't wait to see what they do with that later. But a lot of the times I just kind of like space out and I forget about stuff and they bring it back later and I'm like, oh yeah, the thing.
Well, yeah,
and I think the show that like mostly like did that to me was like, for example, like Steven Universe. Like everyone had a theory about Steven Universe and I was seeing them so much and it was like people were just picking apart scene by scene by scene, by panel by panel by panel, and I was just like so done with it at that point. And I was just like, everything needs to just turn off, and just I would just coast through the show and enjoy it.
So that's literally any show that has ever come out, as especially in the realm of Marvel or superheroes, every single piece of media that has ever come out gets gone through on a frame by frame basis. CinemaSins built a career on it. Literally going through a frame by frame basis going, this is weird. Which, again, that was probably my favorite part of WandaVision, was the fact that there was people actually engaging and being interested in Marvel comics so deep that they were like, the Darkhold, the book or whatever, this like little orange tint, the flowers on the outside of the building indicate magic. And guess what they did?
Well, I mean, it's one of the things where the show did pay attention to detail in so many ways, where what they actually put in through each episode is amazing, just within reference to other things. And also just, I've talked about it a few times where it made my heart, you know, sparkle, where they imitated the style of the decade they were in for the sitcom era, down to like minutia of the way they were filming it, the way the things were scripted, even the way the characters would interact with each other, and then eventually breaking the fourth wall to the camera, you'd see that develop as well. And the aspect ratio, and that's something it played with, all of these different things. But also the level that some people got where they picked out one line and then they built an entire universe off that. Now people are mad that didn't happen. It's like, the show kind of told us what it was up front. It's WandaVision. It's about Wanda and Vision.
I'll never forget the time where I was just like, yeah, Quicksilver got launched into the thing. And both of you were like, no, never watched the show. Just saw it on TikTok. And it was just like, that didn't happen.
There were times where they led us to believe things and stuff. Like, do you guys have, like, what's the craziest thing you thought was going to be predicted or that you saw predicted?
Well, everybody and their grandmother thought Mephisto was coming.
For a while.
Oh, yeah, I'm still, like, invested in Mephisto-related things. Down to the fact that I watched Loki's trailer and went, hey, look, Mephisto. Oh.
See, I think I was hoping more from like the beekeeper that showed up, that just like came out of the like manhole in like episode 1, 2. Well,
they kind of explained it. It just turned out to be, yeah, no one. Where it was just generic sword agent that went through the barrier, and we don't know what's happening with that guy. He's just now bees.
He's keeping bees.
He's just bees.
I mean, I assume he went back to normal.
I thought they were going to build more on that, but they didn't.
No.
And I'm not really mad about it. Like, I'm just like, okay.
Could say he's minding his own business.
He's minding his own business.
Well, it was interesting you brought up Steven Universe, because I think of it the same way as well, where it's, this definitely isn't the first show that it's happened to, but you see that it will happen within the fandom of a show. And I think this is also a lot of people's first experience of collective fandom, as they're all inside watching the same show at the same time and only interacting with their friends on the internet. So they're getting the first taste of the Tumblr theory crowd that has mutated into what we have now. We have entire industries built around, we're going to pick off every little bit of something, and as well as come to, you know, theories of relationships and other things. And it's, I hope it doesn't be unpacked people long term and they get over, because it's one of the things, it's where it's very different ways that you can experience a show. And Megan, often I make the conscious choice the same as you, where it's like, I'm not going to try to think too much about what is ahead when I'm watching something like a movie, because often figuring out it's going to ruin the surprise, where it's better just to, you know, go along for the ride and let it take me there and, you know, use that as an escape. Or with this show, I mean, I did go in a little deep. I got some stuff right. I remember after every episode, me and Kyle were going back through it going, okay, what about this part though?
I guarantee you in like 2 weeks time when Falcon and Winter Soldier come out, it's going to be the exact same thing for that entire show.
we're just going to be right back at it again.
Every single time. And it's going to be even worse if Doctor Strange comes out, because that means the entire multiverse gets opened. Therefore, anything can and will happen.
It's going to be interesting because, well, that was what we were assuming with WandaVision, is that, oh, they're all, because we know she's coming later, they're going to start all these things right now, where it's like, they're very clear. This is about Wanda and Vision. They are setting Wanda up. So when the movie happens, that's when the big event's going to be there, because that tends to be what the movies are for, is for, you know, universe changing things, and the shows will be more for backstory. They have that little vignette piece on Disney Plus that me and Kyle went back to, and
Legends.
The Legends. I hadn't seen any of them, so we watched all four. Though Bucky and Falcon still kind of hit the same right now, because I haven't explored their character more. Watching the scenes with Wanda and Vision, knowing where they end up now, it hit different now.
Yeah, like I still won't care about Bucky or Winter Soldier. I honestly don't care about them as characters, but
I don't yet either.
We might be like a little bit more developed, and we might get like a little bit more interested in some of them. Like I know I'll have to turn off like my Black Veil Bride soundtrack when Bucky comes on screen every time. I was always more interested in Wanda and Vision because they were more interesting. Like, Wanda has the ability to stop an entire fleet of Thanos' ships and throw them on his army. That's way more interesting than Falcon's little red wing thing that can shoot a dart, maybe.
Here's the thing, and this, I hope Marvel does this, because it's important more now than I think ever. So, I don't know if any of you read the comics when Sam became Captain America, but there was a very uncomfortable storyline about hashtag not my captain, where people are like, this guy can't be Captain America. Why? Because he's not Rogers, so to speak, if you can.
Although we can piece it together. There are racist people.
Yeah. And I would generally like to see Marvel tackle this
head on.
Yeah, because there was a review I watched earlier this year where he's talking about how originally he was sick and tired of prejudices, bad storylines, but then he realized we need that stuff more than ever now, because people don't seem to get the message.
Well, I also think they're going to be very different types of shows, because that's what Disney has been doing with a lot of the Marvel properties, and that's what's kept those movies more interesting for me. So it's superhero is now just a genre where it's a superhero, but it's also a heist movie. It's superhero, but it's also an espionage movie. It's superhero, but it's also like a comedic tragedy. And that's what we had with WandaVision, where it was a very tragic story told through sitcoms. With Bucky and Winter Soldier, I'm feeling it's going to be more like Bad Boys for Life, where it's going to be a very like high octane action show with two bros that kind of hate each other but also respect each other deep down.
Yep,
superheroes, but it's a sequel to Bad Boys 2.
Yes, this is
like it's going to be toned down way more in the realm of like magical effects instead of like, you know, crazy Wanda red effects and runes and all that sort of jazz being lit up. It's just going to be Michael Bay directed Bad Boys.
I don't think it'll just be explosions. I think we're going to see a lot more fight choreography. So this is going to be one I think that's going to be more. It's going to feel like, you know, it's going to be Bad Boys. It's going to feel like Mission Impossible. That's at least what I'm assuming. But I may be wrong, because I didn't know what I was going to get with WandaVision the first three episodes in. I was interested, but I had no clue where they were going with that at that time. So what they choose to explore with it, I'm addicted, so I'm going to keep watching. But I also accept it's going to be a very different type of show from WandaVision.
I'm going to say real quick, I've loved the redesign of the Scarlet Witch costume, because as much as I understand, like, Marvel's cinematic staying away from the costumes of the comics.
Yeah,
her costume in Age of Ultron was just a red jacket, and it was very meh. So giving her an actual Scarlet Witch outfit, I'm like, I love it.
She's beautiful. It's just, it's so perfect. I love it so much. I mean, I've always been a fan of Wanda. Like, she's just, like, perfect. So perfect. As soon as she's, as soon as I saw her in Age of Ultron, I was just like, her. I want to be her. And then Vision came along, and then they started the relationship, and I was like, yeah, that's OTP energy. Yes. Getting this show has been a blessing and a curse because it's so good and it's so heartwarming, but it also destroys me and it also makes me very sad.
It taps into the, I just think of the symbol for, like, you know, comedy and tragedy, the laughing and crying masks and stuff. That's the image I kept having throughout this entire yes. show, where it's really funny. It's a funny situation that you're trapped in, but it's all because of overwhelming sadness from loss and, you know, processing that and grieving and watching her come to terms with not only what has happened, but herself and what her destiny is and truly coming into her. And this makes me way more excited for Doctor Strange. I was excited for Doctor Strange before for Doctor Strange. Now I'm excited for Doctor Strange because I want to see more Scarlet Witch.
And I'm totally on board with that same sentiment, like 100%. Because again, with Doctor Strange, I remember me being like so against it. I was like, oh, no, Benedict Cumberbatch can't be Doctor Strange. No, he's got a dumb face and I don't like it. And then I watched the movie and I was like, this is amazing. This is fantastic. Benedict Cumberbatch is a beautiful human being and I want more of this movie all over and over and over and over again.
Wrap so, yeah, me in your I cape just... mustache, daddy.
Oh, I love the cape. The cape right? is the best part. I want to be. I want to be cape.
The cape is my favorite character.
It's not a cape. It's a cape.
No, it's called the cloak of levitation.
Okay, the cloak's my favorite character.
The cloak.
My favorite cloak. Character of him is when he's acting as a cape.
He's the cape commander.
I'm curious who they're going to introduce, though, because I don't think they're going to do more than one reintroduction, because they still did establish a new hero that's going to be used going forward with Monica Rambeau. And I think that's what they're going to kind of, you know, tap into their phase one energy of, we're going to introduce one new hero through these shows. So I do wonder, like, who they're going to bring in with Bucky and Winter Soldier. Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Bucky and himself.
What can go wrong?
Oh, that's on fanfiction.net. Bucky and the Winter Soldier is my 1,400-page fanfiction where Bucky has a clone of himself.
It's the
but he has a so. Gold arm. That's it's my original character. Thank you.
Isn't this a Young Justice plot line?
Here's what I want to happen to Bucky and the Winter Soldier. Hush. You got me saying it now.
Oh my goodness.
For some people, it's all about that. There was a deep, deep internet love for the Winter Soldier that is
deep.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of fan art.
I'm pretty sure deep. I have, out of all the characters that have been requested for, during my employment, I think Bucky/Winter Soldier has been like the top requested item out of all the Marvel characters. They've been like, do you have that one? And I'm like,
yeah, because we have a lot of emo kids in this place.
I mean, yeah. Bucky has big 2015 energy, and the Zoomers are getting really nostalgic, so there's a lot. I mean, Willy Wonka made a comeback for a while, but you're gonna see a lot of Wunsler coming back, and you're gonna see a lot of Bucky. I wonder if they're gonna play into that, though, because it's been quite a few years, and Disney's been able to see is like, okay, who are the fans of these characters, and what will they do with Bucky? Because we know nothing of Bucky's personal life, because he's like been in prison and then had to hide out in Wakanda for a while.
It's a little Bucky.
Oh my gosh. I want to know what Rob's looking forward to, what he wants to happen in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
So there's a famous storyline where Captain America gets turned into a werewolf since the Falcon is the new Captain America. Let's have a flying werewolf.
Okay. Oh, no.
I thought you were going to go for.
Rob, if I'm wrong, I'll eat my hat. If I have to make any prediction of things that will not happen in Falcon and Winter Soldier, neither of them are going to turn into werewolves.
If any of them turn into a werewolf,
we
you
might...
said you'd eat your hat.
If, yes.
That is here.
If either of them turn into a werewolf, yes. we'll make it, we'll break it down, we'll make it work. But that's how confident I am, is that the storyline that this is not going to be about.
Plus, okay. The first opening scene of the first episode is just like them trying to cure one of them from being a werewolf.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
If that was the opening number, I would instantly just be calling you going, ha! Ha!
Maybe your hit, sir.
So I know I don't usually say, like, I don't usually make theories, but there was one that I had in regards to Resident Evil Village, and we just got marketing for it at our store, and it's a picture of half a wolf face and half of Chris Redfield's face.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm wondering if my theory of him being made to be a werewolf is in fact going to happen.
Never go
and
werehog.
And if I'm wrong...
never go Resident Evil werehog. No, no, don't do it.
If we get Resident Evil were Shredfield, I am going to be so happy. However, if it doesn't happen, I'll be cool with it. But if it happens, I'm just going to laugh maniacally outside of the store for, like, probably an hour. So,
like, you don't do that every day anyways?
Like, I don't do that every day anyways.
Yeah, this is for a new reason, Rob.
Usually around 4 p.m. Catch me outside. How about that? Catch me outside EB Games laughing like a maniac.
If that happens, I'm not calling it Resident Evil. I'm calling it Underworld.
So
I'm not really sure what I'm anticipating for the Marvel Universe now. I'm so out of the loop. I'm so, like, not connected. And I'm just like, whatever happens, happens. I'm just on the ride. Okay, let's do this.
I have one thing.
What's your thing?
Captain America as a Hydra agent. Because that's actually been a thing.
That has been a thing. People are real mad about that.
But yeah, they don't have the Cosmic Cube anymore.
Multiverse theory.
Oh, that'll be probably in What If.
Oh, yeah, they might do that something. That might come up somewhere, especially because it did have... I know about it. I haven't read Captain America. It's never been my go-to book. But I saw quite a bit about that when it happened, and people were very mad that they made Captain America a Nazi.
Oh, I don't
maybe they
them.
Won't go that. Okay, I mean, we'll see. I thought
that comic reference was in Endgame, where Cap's in the elevator and he has to take Loki's staff, so he pretends to be Hydra and just says "Hail Hydra" because he knows.
I mean,
everyone
fair.
Else.
I'm fair, but he's using knowledge of the future to, like, sort of blend in and such. I mean, they could go a lot farther where they have, like, you know, the alternate universe where Nazis won or Hydra won. They sort of tapped into that when they did that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the Not Matrix, where they went with "What if Hydra won?" And we all thought the soap was a reference to it.
Yeah, but we'll probably get that in What If. So looking forward to What If.
Yeah. I mean, I assume Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to explore a lot in the ideas of legacy, where you have essentially two sidekicks to the greatest, you know, hero and, like, America has ever known. And now they have to live in his shadow. So you have your bad boy with a complicated history. And, you know, his girlfriend he gave the shield to.
Bucky and the Falcon.
Yeah. I mean,
two brothers.
That's all I want it to be.
That's actually honestly all I want it to be. I just want it to be two brothers.
And a Mexican tomato alien invasion armada.
Oh, if we get them fighting aliens, I'm down. I mean, that's going to come eventually. We know we're getting more Skrull action eventually. It's interesting to see, just with things being reorganized. I'm still waiting on Black Widow, where it's like, come on, Disney, just do it. Just give us Black Widow.
I'm sure Black Widow is a backbreaking problem that they're having, and they'll get over it eventually.
Yeah, well, I mean, they kind of had to reorganize, like, just the whole timeline because of the pandemic. So it's going to be interesting to see how that does affect things. One of the things that was noted where you'll notice that Darcy didn't appear much in the back end of the series, and that was because she could not make it back up after lockdown came up. So they kind of just inserted a couple scenes to wrap up her story and just real quick. I'm hoping at least more of the side characters get more.
Well, because like Jimmy Woo is probably a lot of people's favorite character.
Yes, he's my favorite witch on the show.
He is.
Jimmy Woo is my favorite magic user in WandaVision. Hands down.
Jimmy Woo.
Hands down.
What?
Flourish.
Jim? Don't you mean Jim?
Yes.
Jim Halpert?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I call him Jimmy. We have a personal relationship like that, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. Also, screw you, Kyle, for making me know that.
I've seen you watch Office clips on your own.
Yeah, because they keep showing up in my feed. And I'm like, yeah, I might as well understand what Kyle's saying.
You don't have to click them. That's your own fault.
Yeah, it's your own fault, man.
No, the algorithm demands it. We must feed the algorithm. The algorithm is king.
I do as my robot overlords demand.
Yes. Rob's on Team Robot.
They're not demanding. They're suggesting. You're the only one falling for suggestions.
I mean, that's...
A suggestion is just a nice demand.
Isn't that hypnosis? Is just suggestion?
I mean, we know Rob can be hypnotized at least.
Exactly.
Yep. And only one severe injury so far.
That you know of.
That he knows of, yes.
Well, I've only been hypnotized the once.
Yes, but we don't know. Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and try to assassinate the Malaysian Prime Minister. Are you really sure that you've never slept walk trying to assassinate the Malaysian Prime Minister?
Ooh, good point, good point.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's the reason I know.
Not enough people ask themselves that question.
Here's the thing. I know at this point, since moving, I can't have slept walk out of my room because my door to my bed area comes up to here on me. So if I slept walked out of there, I'd hit my face against the wall every time.
Not if it's habit. No, people duck when they're sleeping. It's not like it is in cartoons. At least
you don't just walk like a zombie. People like cook and do all that sort of jazz.
Yeah, Ambien does some crazy stuff. People have gone for a drive and they woke up in their car while going down the highway, going, "Where the hell am I? Are you sure?"
A little bit of Ambien.
Are you sure, Rob, that you're not secretly asleep? Because if you were programmed to be a sleeper cell, that would be taken accounted for. That you would not do things that would alert yourself to your sleeper cell nature. Maybe you are the are you a Russian plant, Rob?
He did just try to deflect.
I've played so many video games that have like brainwashed the character, like the main character, and or like MK Ultra programmed their brains to like. I think that if that happened to me, I would just go off the rails. Like if something was like I knew was like programming in me, and it was just like the code word would come up, and my brain would like crack, and I'd be like, "No, Alice, stop!" Ah! And I would just go on a rampage on my own without having being, you know, I don't know.
I'm okay to be Matt Damon. I'll just be Matt Damon. I'll just like catch a knife with my teeth and just go, I don't know how I do that. Who am I, CIA?
Got it. The next time I see you, Andrew, throw a knife at your teeth.
No.
We recommend,
because like, I'm not Matt Damon
not
yet.
Do that.
But you might be. And there's only one way to test it. I take the knife and then I go, whoo.
But Rob, you're sounding more and more like a sleeper agent every second.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure?
Yes,
we just gotta find his code word. We just gotta find his code word. Bananarama. Code orange.
I feel like
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, that would activate my programming actually.
Imagine if you programmed someone and you gave them the dumbest response. Like, if anyone says this word, this activation phrase, you just tap your head with one hand and rub your belly with the other hand.
Vanilla tapioca pudding, and then like, you know, you just happened, there happens to be a special at the Froyo shop, or it's vanilla tapioca pudding, and then suddenly you spin kick the barista or the ice cream barista. I don't know what the ice cream bar people are called.
Scoop agents?
Yeah, I'm just saying it could happen to you. Are you sure that you aren't a Russian sleeper agent?
If anyone in this group would
some ancient science researchers may say yes.
We need to do our first break here, folks, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU or around the world at luradio.ca.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Copperfin Credit Union, Northwestern Ontario's largest locally owned credit union. Experience the convenience of their mobile banking app and online financial solutions anywhere, anytime. Copperfin Credit Union, life forward. Sarah Curtin, your neighborhood realtor. She's on top of what's happening in Thunder Bay's market, and she'll help you buy or sell your home. Call or text her anytime at 632-3635 or find her online at sarahcurtin.com. The Walleye, the definitive source for information on music, food, art, and entertainment in Thunder Bay. This month's issue is on stands for free now. Find it around town or online and interactive at thewalleye.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU or around the world at luradio.ca.
Because here's my reasoning of why I think it would be Kyle. Let's say Kyle killed someone and then regained himself. He'd be looking over the body going, oh man. He'd be more annoyed than like freaked out, paranoid, or anything bad.
Not just clean up.
He's like, cleanup's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You only have such a big bathtub.
Well, that's why you chop into little bits and use acid. I mean...
And you were saying anyway. I sound like a sleeper agent.
No, I just know how to get rid of a body.
Well, it doesn't really work.
Yeah, Mythbusters actually did.
If you do the acid part, no, like, I mean, it's very obvious.
Yeah.
That it's a body.
It kind of leaves, a lot of evidence.
A lot of evidence right. around.
I'm off Kekkebeka Falls.
And the smell.
You gotta throw a headshot guy at Kekkebeka Falls?
I mean, Chris does have a large forested lot in his backyard. I mean, just the wolves will take care of it.
I was gonna say feed it to the chickens.
We don't have chickens. Have
chickens. That's messed up. What? Don't feed meat to chickens, I think. Do what? Chickens eat meat?
Why? It's fine.
No. They
you have no idea how cannibalistic nature is.
No, I know. Just don't do it to your own chickens. You get to choose.
Why? Because then they're just meatier chickens.
I don't think it works like that.
Yeah, they're indeed meatier little beads.
If you feed the chickens meat, its own chicken, you're not feeding the chicken to chicken, right?
I'm feeding a chicken to chicken.
That doesn't make a super chicken.
I'm pretty sure I have seen videos of someone giving their chicken or someone giving somebody else's chickens KFC, and they just gobble
no,
it up.
No, don't do that. That's messed up.
Why?
You could feed a turkey. I'm okay. You know what? If you feed turkey to chickens, I'm okay with that. But do not feed chicken to other chickens, please. This is why we can't have backyard chickens, because you people wanted to feed it all dressed nuggets.
This is how you make them better.
No.
Super chickens. When life gives you chickens, you clone those chickens and then feed those chickens other chickens and you get super chickens.
Exactly. See?
It's not a turducken, Kyle. You can't just add chicken to chicken.
Oh, I can add any bird to other bird and make it better bird.
So the question I was going to ask is, if I feed people to chickens and then you eat the chickens, is that cannibalism?
No, because it's been processed into it. Like if like a shark ate a person and I ate that shark, it still doesn't, if as long as it's fully digested, I don't feel like it's...
If you killed the chicken like right away and then cooked it, ate it, you would still have like remnants of people in the chicken.
Yeah.
But like...
I don't think the body would be gone yet if you did that right away.
Yeah, no, if it's like a week after the chickens ate the body that I eat the chickens, so there's like no, or even like a day after the chickens ate them, because like the chickens would have processed that all into like, you know, calories. I'm completely fine with eating those chickens.
Now, what if you ate the
special egg? Bacon? Piggy pigs.
Some of what could isn't been absorbed of people could be in the chicken egg.
Isn't that how mad cow disease started? Is that they were feeding cow to cow?
Yes.
Isn't that like biologically?
You don't feed cows. That's bad. You can feed chickens, though.
I think if you feed chickens, you're more likely to pass on chicken viruses.
So no. We get mad chickens.
Yeah.
Just like cook the chicken first before you hand it to the chicken.
Rob, I believe the medical term is funky chickens.
Funky chickens. Okay, but think about it. Chickens are just evolved dinosaurs, and dinosaurs were meat eaters. I mean, it's just like a little tiny velociraptor, so come on.
Absolutely. I want to deep fry a velociraptor. If we ever get time travel, you know what the number one thing is going to be? It's not going to be going back to the past to change things. It's going to be taking ancient creatures and deep frying them. That's going to be my favorite. Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri 2099 is Guy Fieri going back to the past as a half cyborg, taking things like dinosaurs and then like doing a slow roast like smoker for like 3 weeks, where you're gonna roast a brontosaurus tail and it's just gonna be fall off the bone brontosaurus.
I remember in the mid-90s seeing this on Discovery Channel where a guy paid a literal $1 million because they found a frozen woolly mammoth. So he paid $1 million to have a woolly mammoth steak.
Ew. It would be so freezer burnt, though. Oh my gosh. Defrosting that thing would have been such a pain.
Brush it off. It's fine.
If you're poor, you've eaten frozen meat. But it's also, he's right that, like, once you freeze meat, the ice crystals change the texture and the fat distribution, so it doesn't cook as well. But if I could go back to the past and like chop up a mammoth, but like I'm gonna go back to when there's like a lot of mammoths. I don't think it'd be okay if like, you know, you went back and you stole the last mammoth. There's got to be rules at least. Like you can't steal the last of a species. You gotta let it die on its own.
Man.
But if you're like in like if you go back to peak mammoth season, but maybe that's what causes the extinction of a species is everyone goes back and takes a mammoth.
But Andrew, if you were offered that mammoth steak free of charge,
I will stick anything in my mouth. Absolutely, Rob.
I would definitely like to try dodo bird because I want it. Because, like, you know, every bird has a different flavor, different texture. Like, you know, partridge is a lot more gamey than, you know, say, like a chicken, and turkey is a lot more, like, it's a bit drier than chicken, etc., etc., etc. Like, goose is all oily, all that jazz. I want to know what a dodo bird would taste like.
Extinct.
I want to eat an emu because I think that's the closest thing you can get to eating a dinosaur.
I think you
okay
can.
Yeah, that's fat. I mean, you can eat alligator is really close.
I've had alligator.
Alligator is ancient, but they are not dinosaurs. They were just around with the dinosaurs and outlived them. Then like screw
wouldn't
you
that
dinos
make them also dinosaurs.
No, dinosaurs is actually a subsect.
Yes.
There's certain things that were in prehistoric and Jurassic times weren't qualified as dinosaurs.
Yeah, they were different species. Crocodiles are completely different species. It's just also ancient. It just lived where dinosaurs died.
Like a Komodo dragon? Like, would that be, like, qualified?
I think
those
are poison.
You think that would be, like, on par with dinosaur?
Aren't they?
Only their saliva.
So don't kiss it.
No.
I mean, have you seen those faces? They're pretty kissable. Like, you just want to kiss them. Mwah.
I'd try it, but I don't think a Komodo dragon would taste good.
Why not?
They don't look tasty to me. Something about them. I'm just judging them based purely upon aesthetics. They don't look like tasty animals.
I mean, a crocodile, by the way it looks, doesn't look like it would be a tasty animal, but apparently it tastes very much like chicken.
I don't think it does. It's way more flavorful.
There you go. What if a Komodo dragon is just like the most flavorful thing you ever eat?
I'll let someone else tell me about it first, and then I'll give it a shot. But I won't be the first man to try a Komodo dragon.
I don't think...
I mean, the thing is, if someone had like a cooked Komodo dragon, it's like, hey, do you want to try a piece of this? I'd be like, yeah, sure.
I don't remember it's there. A Komodo dragon or not, but I remember Mythbusters did an entire episode about does it taste like chicken? Where they like do normal, like regular meats, but then they go way crazy with some of them. So maybe try that, see that episode and see if they had Komodo dragon.
I would still try most non-insect animals. I still have.
I've had it.
You've made me try insects as well, and I'm like, I don't mind it, but you know what? I also still don't like it.
In, of course, California, there's a high-end restaurant that exclusively serves insects, but they prepare them so well that most people can't tell they're eating bugs.
I'd maybe try it, but it's still not my go-to. That's just making bugs taste like not bugs. I want the thing to taste like itself, you know? So, like, if it came to, like, eating a snake, I want it to taste like snake. I want to know what a snake tastes like. But if it's, like, you know, a tarantula, I'm okay. I wouldn't think so. They don't look meaty enough.
Crunchy. And the hairs, man.
I think emus could be delicious, though. I'd try a pulled emu sandwich.
See? Reason we gotta go to Australia.
Beat Dark Souls. Beat Dark Souls.
Yeah,
so here's my thing too.
Yeah, it's very simple.
It's like
Rob.
ancient vegetables, like extinct like fauna. Or no, extinct
ooh,
like
yeah.
Flora and fauna. Vegetable, aren't those the two words for plants?
Yeah, fern. Yeah. So like okay, so like you know how there was giant ferns like back when like the ferns that we have now are pretty big, but they're not as big as we used to get them back in the day, you know, because I'm actually a dinosaur. I'm actually a dinosaur in a trench coat. So,
yeah,
you know, I remember these things, right? So, so like the giant ferns, like, you know, fiddleheads. So you eat the ferns before they unfurl. So it kind of tastes like spinach, but better. I want to know what a giant fern. A fiddlehead is a fern. Yeah, it's a fern leaf.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, so fiddleheads are like the fern before it gets a chance to like completely bloom and like unfurl. And I want to know what an ancient fern would have tasted like, because it would be like big. It would be like the size of like, I don't know, I'm thinking like two steaks maybe, like just big. And you would just slap that baby on the plate and it would just be like, dunk!
Weren't there also like super huge mushrooms in the past?
Yes! Oh my gosh, I want to try super huge mushroom. Like, I'm not going to be the first person to try this because, you know, poison and stuff.
Or the best adventure of your life.
Yeah, you know what?
Or, I mean, oh gosh.
This could be two things.
But also, I mean, I'd have to look back upon when those like mutations came out within them as well, because some of those mutations are around like because of us. Bananas are anything but natural. We have made the banana. True. Plantains is pretty aight. I tried them fried and I really like that. But I'm actually less interested in ancient food, just because the reason food's so good is because we've bred it over thousands of years to make it gooder.
Ever see what a watermelon that has not been affected by people looks like?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a lot of little pockets of watermelon fruit instead of just one big pocket of watermelon fruit.
I did enjoy the Japanese watermelon, but I still want to try a square one.
Right? Yeah, oh, totally.
It's not going to taste any different. It was just, formed in a mold. It's like those pears that are shaped like Buddha. It's just it's the same pear. Wait, it's just formed in a Buddha mold.
There are pears that are shaped like Buddha?
Yeah, they get like once they're really, really small, they just clamp this like plastic thing around them and then they just grow into the shape of like little Buddhas.
Oh, you know what I want to try? I want to try the Buddha pear. I bet it tastes more delicious because it's shaped to please me.
There was, when I was in Mexico, I found a guy who makes his own homemade liquor. and inside the bottle of liquor was a fully formed apple.
Bootlegger, because... Rob, you found a bootlegger.
Yeah, and it was delicious.
I don't doubt it, but your Mexican adventures always scare the crap out of me, Rob.
I'm fine. Nothing's happened that's dangerous or illegal.
Yet. That we know of.
Rob. Yeah, okay, Rob. Your hubris will be the end of you.
Let me put in asterisk that nothing I did was illegal in Mexico.
Okay, but the thing is, Rob, if you ever go missing in Mexico and they interview us on, like, Dateline, it's like, you know, he's been missing for 42 days in Mexico. How do you feel? I'm like, ah, you know what? That makes sense. I think he'll turn up eventually, maybe alive. He probably made friends with some scary people and stuff. It is on, like, a yacht and, like, you know, fighting kangaroos in the middle of the ocean. But, no, this is kind of expected. Rob going missing.
This sounds like a song that we need to make. If Rob goes missing in Mexico, maybe he's on a yacht with a kangaroo.
Maybe he's killing the president.
I have specified this. If I am ever presumed dead, no funeral or no declaration of death without
until there's
a body.
No, I remembered that, Rob, that you've left us special instructions specifically. But I would think of, like, you know, predictable permutations of, like, hey, you know, if this happens, you know, so if Rob goes mixing in Mexico, like, do you want us to commemorate you until we find a body, like, on a specific day? We'll all, like, drink tequila and eat a taco to Rob, but it'll be, like, an authentic street taco.
I mean, you could do that if you want, but I will return with weird stories, or I had done so many Mexican drugs that I come back, it's like,
I don't know where I've been, but I'm 10 years older.
That was one heck of a weekend.
I got this weird tattoo. Can you tell me what it is? It really hurt. That also makes sense. That'd make a lot of sense.
Where did we start?
I don't know. I don't know where we went with this.
We went from, like, eating prehistoric.
Sometimes there's a rabbit hole and everyone looks into it, and then I grab everyone and I just force us into it. I'm so sorry.
No, thank you, Megan. This is my favorite time. But also,
Megan is really good at forcing us in holes.
Yeah. Well, you made a suggestion for me, and I started watching it as well this week.
Ah, yes. The show that would probably do well as an anime, but I'm not sure if it would, but it could.
Oh, you know what? That's probably why I like it, because I think it reminds me a lot of Hikaru no Go, but without ghosts. You're right, it is a sports anime. It's just live action.
It's a sports live action anime that was never an anime. So I don't know what drove me to watch this show. I think I had seen a few, like, clips of it in like meme videos and stuff, and I was like, oh, this lady is really pretty. And so it sucked me into this show called The Queen's Gambit. And it's literally about this child prodigy who is so, so good at chess that it brings her to, like the US championships and then the world championships, and it, like, eventually brings her to Russia even. And, like, I wasn't really expecting to get so sucked into it, because I don't know a thing about chess. I don't know anything. My dad had a chess board, and it was just, like, out there, and I just never touched it. I just didn't know how to play. It was very confusing. But
I know how to
show,
play.
Like,
I'm just terrible at it. I'm just bad at chess.
This show, honestly, I mean, she's supposed to make it look easy, because, like, again, she's a child prodigy. She's amazing. And I'm just like, I have no idea the stuff that they're, like, I know that, you know, the pawn can move, like, one at a time, and the little horsey goes into an L shape. I know those things. But beyond that, I don't know.
They can move two on the first move.
There are a few things that I do know about chess. One of the things that I know is that it's a pet peeve to call it the horsey.
The horsey?
It's a knight.
The horsey?
They get real mad about it, like, it's a knight. And I'm like, nah, it's a horsey.
the horsey
moves in an L or a seven.
So for the listeners who can't see, I'm actually holding up a custom chessboard I got from Poland, where all the dark pieces are Polish royalty.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That is awesome.
Yeah,
I love that.
I did have to check, so Beth isn't real, because I this felt like, I'm like, I can't tell if this is a real story or not, because it did She starts off as an orphan in an orphanage.
Yeah, so Beth meets a tragic fate, unfortunately, and is an orphan when she's first introduced. And she's, you know, very, very, very quiet, very reserved. And, you know, she has to just, like, abide by the rules, and it's like a Catholic orphanage and everything.
It's a scary Catholic orphanage.
So Catholic orphanage.
Interesting.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. Her best friend, so the first girl that she meets that kind of like helps her along, is named Jolene, and she is an older girl who's been there for a little while, so she knows a few things. So she's like telling her like, hey, just do this and you'll be fine. Hey, just do this and you'll be fine. But one thing that she tells her when she goes to get, so the girls all take vitamins. And these vitamins.
You need some air
are
quotes
so
on that.
Much quote-unquote, these, I forget the actual name of the pill
on drugs.
The bottle. They're drugs. They are drugs.
They were giving them tranquilizers to chill the kids out. And her best friend also was telling her, like, hey, just take those at night. They work better. Don't take them during the day.
Yeah.
So they were just tranking all of the kids in the Catholic orphanage.
Beth finds out that if she takes like a few of them at a time as well, it actually like works better. So she ends up going down into the basement to like clap erasers. She has to clean erasers, and she's immediately drawn to this chessboard. And the the maintenance guy, the janitor, quote unquote, Mr. Scheibel, is playing chess just by himself. And she's like super intrigued. She's like, what is that? And he's like, well, it's chessboard. And she's like, can you teach me? And then he says yes. So he decides to teach her a little bit. And he beats her. And, you know, he's like, you have to resign. You have to resign. You can't just keep playing because, you know, this is the rule.
The game is already lost. Like, you can't play until your king is taken. It's just disrespectful. So he's like, no, like, you've already lost. I have all your pieces. You have to resign. The game is done. Come back tomorrow.
To which she calls him a bad word.
That's my favorite scene so far. Well, yeah. Context. She called him a sea sucker, and she didn't know what that word meant yet. But ew. Oh wow. Yeah. It kind of came out of left field, and I'm just like, but also relatable. You know, being a child and learning a bad word.
And then you just repeat it over and over again.
And then you ask what it means later.
Oh yeah.
So she's so enthralled by chess that she ends up taking these vitamins, quote unquote vitamins, as she's sleeping, and she uses the tiles on the ceiling, and she like stares up at them, and she like retains the game, and she like goes over it again in her head, and she can see on the ceiling, she can see the pieces moving, and she teaches herself like new strategies, or she goes over the games again. And she becomes so good at chess that after she beats Mr. Scheibel a few times, Mr. Scheibel invites, I believe it's the high school principal or like
It's like a high school teacher that like leads the chess team. Like he's like the head of he's pretty much, you know, the teacher that sponsors the chess team at the local high school. And it's like, hey, come over and just play her chess.
Yeah, I should also mention that this takes place like in the past. Like it's not like now, it's like in the 40s, like 30s, 40s.
Yeah,
I think 40s, 50s.
Yeah, like we're starting with her as a child of like 9 years old. They eventually, you know, say, hey, you know what you're not allowed to do anymore? You're not allowed to trank kids to make them chill out in the orphanage. And her friend ends up telling her, like, hey, yeah, no, it looks like you got a bit of a dependency there. You're going to be going through withdrawal for the next little while. You're going to have a lot of jumpy kids.
And Beth is not having it. She is banned from playing chess, so she can't play chess, and she can't have her vitamins. So now she's like being like taken away of the two things that she like likes at this point.
Yeah, I mean, as an orphan, you don't have many options.
No. So she devises a plan to take the ones that are still behind the counter that she can see. And, like, she goes through this whole process of, like, I don't know if she stole a key or if she just, like, lockpicked them.
She used a shiv.
She found a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Yeah, she found a screwdriver and, like, unlocked all the locks and just devoured all of these pills.
Yeah.
Like, so many of them. She was just shoveling them in her face. Like, she just... There was no out plan. After she got that jar, there was, like, no escape plan. She just wanted them, and she just shovels them in her face.
I mean, she was addiction mode here, where she literally, you know, broke into the medicine cabinet and just starts shoveling, because she doesn't even understand what they are, because she hasn't been told anything like that. She's just jonesing, and she just snaps, and she, yeah... I screamed party when she did that, though, because she's like, it's literally just like she grabbed a fistful of capsule tranquilizers and just went home. It's like, oh well, rock on, girl. You know, you going hard there. I see.
I wasn't expecting that. Like, I no, she doesn't die.
She does not die.
In real life, you would perish. You would perish.
Yeah, like I don't think. Let's assume they induced vomiting very quickly.
So she's kind of under the radar. Sorry?
I feel like if you ate a fistful of literal tranquilizers, and you said she's like 9 at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe dead. Not done yet.
Probably dead. Does not die. Probably. Does retain a tranquilizer addiction.
She does eventually. Oh, right. The high school chess team. She ends up like playing against like a bunch of students all at once, and she goes from like each.
Yeah, it was like 9 games board, like, at the same time, and she was playing the entire chess team of the high school.
She like beats all of them like in record time, and she, I believe at that point, she was being interviewed. This was later. Oh, okay. Okay. So Beth eventually gets adopted. She's supposed to be 14 or like 16, I think.
She's 13.
Yeah. They lie about her age so that she can get adopted more easily. Yeah. And she's adopted by Elma Wheatley and Mr. Wheatley. And I don't really care to remember Mr. Wheatley's name because he's kind of a jerk anyways. I don't like him.
He's gone quickly.
He's gone quickly. Wheatley. So she gets adopted by Elma, and Elma is actually a really interesting character. I'm not sure how far into the series you actually got, Andrew. Okay, yeah. So Elma is pretty great. You know, she is often left alone because Mr. Wheatley is often like away for business, and I'm not sure. I can't remember if they lost their child or were they were never able to conceive themselves. But yeah, so they adopt Beth, and, you know, Elma's just trying to like do her best as a parent and, you know, teach her like, you know, how to be like a kid in like, you know, this new setting with like high school and everything. And then Beth finds out that there's a chess tournament in town at the university. I want to say it was at the university.
Well, it was like and a state championship there. That was happening, the Kentucky State Championship.
There we go, the Kentucky State Championship. And she doesn't have the money to go, or she doesn't have like enough money from her allowance to go, so she ends up actually requesting the money from Mr. Scheibel. So Mr. Scheibel sends her the money, and then she goes to the contest, and then she's like totally drilled the entire time. She's like, they're like, oh, this is where we meet Matt and Mike. Matt and Mike are probably my two favorite characters, the twins.
Yeah.
They actually play a very good role in Beth's life, because even though they came off like kind of like jerks at the beginning, once they get to know Beth, they're actually really good friends of hers, and they always like meet up with her at like different events because they're just chess nerds, I guess. And then they just become really good friends, and it's like really wholesome. I like it a lot. So these guys are like, do you have like a score? Like, have you ever been in a tournament? Like, who even are you? Oh, and they're like, okay, well, I guess you're just going to start from the bottom. And they make her literally start from the bottom.
Well, they tried to stick her in like the beginner's bracket at first, and she's like, well, how much is the prize money for that? And, $20. And it's like, well, no, I want to go for the big one. He's like, well, you should start off as a beginner. He's like, no, I want to play the good people. What's a grandmaster? I want to be one of them.
I love how I love how driven Beth is. She doesn't care. Like, she doesn't want to start from the bottom. Like, she knows she's good. She knows how good she is. And no one, like, anticipates how good she is at first because, oh, you know, she's just a girl.
Yeah, there's like, a lot of prejudice in, like, the 1960s against women in chess.
Yeah, and she ends up, like, obliterating everyone. One of the, I guess the guy that she is supposed to go up against is this Harry Beltic. And Harry Beltic is, like, ugh, such an idiot. Like, when we first meet Harry, he is, like, pompous. He thinks he's so good. He shows up to their match late, and she beats him with time to spare. And she's like, well, maybe, you know, you would have stood a better chance if you would have showed up on time. Like, he totally underestimated her. So he basically, he would have lost anyways.
Yeah.
Because she's that good. But because he underestimated her, he, like, threw any chance of redemption basically out the window. And then she starts getting money from her chess tournaments and stuff. And her mom is like, wow, this is going to take you places.
So I didn't realize you could make money playing chess. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's like, so let's take you places. Like, Mr. Wheatley's not around. He's going to be, like, gone forever, basically. So, you know, let's go take you places. And they end up going to, like, New York and, like, Paris. And just, like, they go, like, all over the United States, and they end up getting to Paris eventually. And they just have such a good time. Meanwhile, Beth is still, like, struggling with her addiction. And she's also getting into, like, marijuana and, you know, alcohol and stuff. And she's still, like, learning to be a teenager at the same time of becoming, like, climbing this ladder to being the best chess player in the world. And a lot of the times that, like, conflicts with one another, especially with her addiction to the tranquilizers. And there's times where she falters and she loses. There's, like, this one guy that I hate but love. His name is Benny Watts, and he's, like, this, like, Texan dude with, like, a knife on his belt with, like, a long coat and a cool hat. He's, like, kind of, like, rat, like, face little dude, but I'm just, like, I'm gonna kiss you in your stupid face. I mean, punch you in your stupid face. And he's, like, all these people, all these characters are so involved in chess. Like, they read every article. They go over every game. They're so invested in this game that it's, like, their whole life. They just, like, stay up for hours at night just practicing. And she ends up losing against him multiple times in, like, speed chess. And so she has an edge in the long term. But in the short term, she finds out that she loses because she just isn't, like, quick at it. But because she plays those quick games against him, she learns his methods and eventually beats him.
It is interesting thinking of it in, like, the sort of a sports story allegory and stuff, because it actually is. And I think that's where I started getting drawn to it as well, where it's very much seeing her acumen and her intelligence come through. And it's not because it's not because she's the strongest or the fastest or the best person on the sports team. It's because she's incredibly smart and tactical. But at the same time, yes, you know, still has those human flaws.
She's cutthroat too. Like, she pulls no punches. If she gets the chance, like, she will just corner. Like, there's been times where characters will say, oh man, you humiliated that guy, or, like, somebody will, like, walk away from the chessboard, like, so frustrated they won't even put their chess piece down. They'll just, like, get out of there. They just get out of Dodge. Like, they're so flustered. Like, they just can't believe that they lost. I love it. And then there's, like, she's still trying to struggle and deal with her trauma from her past, from when she was, like, living with her mom before the orphanage. And there's so many relationships that she makes with people over time that she often, like, pushes to the side and dismisses because of her obsession with chess. That, like, it hurts those relationships. But in the good old fashion of, like, you know, anime, everyone comes through at the end to kind of, like, ooh, friendship power. We're gonna help you beat the Russian. Ooh.
Yeah, that's kind of the big specter in the background of like the whole chess tournaments is that she starts learning Russian so she can go to Russia and play the best.
Oh my gosh, she's so smart to do that too, because like it'll be interesting because when she starts getting closer to the Russians, she'll like hear them talking about her, but she doesn't give them an indication that she can hear them until there's like an actual like press conference where she actually lets it out that she knows Russian. And it's like, it just takes them so off guard. The look on Borgov's face is priceless.
There's a...
every person... Oh, go ahead.
There's a philosophy my mom always taught me when learning another language. Always learn the insults first to know when people are telling you off.
That's pretty smart.
That's some wise advice.
That's why I know sign language insults. So if someone ever signs me, like, I'd be like, hey.
Don't pick fights with deaf people, Rob. You're supposed to help them.
Well, you know, that is some very, very...
I'll be able to throw shade back at them.
You're going to have a...
some very...
Rob's going to have an ASL rap battle.
ASL rap battle.
I've seen some of those ASL like rap interpreters. I would not stand a chance.
You're not ready to throw hands, Rob?
They are wild.
He's not ready to become the Hokage.
I'm not really sure what else. Like, I mean, Harry Beltic eventually comes back. Oh, gosh, the house. She ends up... I don't know if I want to spoil this too much because you said you were invested.
Yeah, I'm invested. So, no, I highly recommend checking it out because, you know, it seeing it also, like, take place, like, over time where you're actually growing up with her from the orphanage into adulthood and stuff, it's a pretty beautiful story. And, like, the main actress in it really carries it. Like, she's charismatic while being very understated.
Yes. Like, honestly, the acting in this show is fantastic. Everyone is so like in the moment in their character. And like, even if you love chess, I would say check it out. If you have no idea, like myself, go for it. I don't know, actually, like, I would have to look into it for people who actually do like play chess quite a bit, if this show is actually like on par with like what they think. Like, it always makes me wonder, like, from watching shows like this, and for example, like Hikaru no Go, I always wondered, like, how do they get from point A to point B? Like, what's the setup? Like, do they have all of these matches like planned out before they do them on screen, or is it just like nonsense? Like, I don't know.
Like, is it like, you know, techno babble in like a sci-fi movie? But we since we don't know anything about chess, we're like, ah, yes, the Sicilian defense. That sounds like chess.
That sounds like chess.
What I'm hearing is I have to come over. We have to play.
I would definitely like to like learn a few things about chess, but I am not a tactical person. Like, I don't think three moves ahead. That's not my jams. Like, I'm dominoes and that's it. Like, that's the most hardcore board game I play.
Rob, you should.
I don't really think ahead too much.
I am tactical. You've seen me play Risk.
Yeah, but is partial tactical and partial luck.
Yes.
No, Risk is almost entirely strategy.
It's entirely strategy.
You can have a great strategy, but if you roll garbage like some people I know,
you have to account for that.
Then yeah, you have to account for that. Then don't engage when you're behind.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Kyle, I have seen you go from like having a country full of soldiers to killing yourself trying to kill one guy.
But was he playing against me?
Yes.
That's the problem. It's because I'm the master of Risk.
I don't really think that's the case, but...
What I'm hearing is we need to go back to online Risk. We need to head to our last break here, folks, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring Folkin Mondays, Karaoke Tuesdays, Trivia Wednesdays, Open Stage Thursdays, and Live Music Weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. The Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the Student Center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
Back, you're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. That was Cybertronic Spree with Cybertronic Warrior. Though, Chris, I understand you were let down recently.
Okay, I was about to go look up those names, but
you can give them all nicknames, because I'm not, since you told me I'm skipping, because I was gonna jump into this because I keep wanting to love this franchise, but it keeps being kind of stupid.
I mean, so far I'm enjoying it.
It's a show about robots fighting monsters.
Ooh.
But they fight one monster four times.
Hold on, is that that like superly badly animated thing that just posted on Netflix?
Yep.
Oh, gotcha.
Is the animation that bad?
Oh my goodness, it's like maybe 10 frames per second, like some kid drew on a chalkboard. I think Sticking Around had more frames per second.
Oh gosh.
Whoa. That's a call. Yeah, I watched Pacific Rim Black. Or The Black, I guess. But who? It's Pacific Rim, who cares?
Pacific Rim Australia.
Exactly my point. Who cares?
It's Australian?
What?
What? That's not the direction I was expecting.
Yeah, they're in Australia. Apparently this whole thing takes place in Australia.
Choices.
Oh. Yep, definitely something.
Another rift happens in Australia, and Australia becomes no man's land.
Surrounded by kaiju. Only I say that.
They're surrounded, but they only fight one dude?
Yeah, four times.
But there's
like, Power Rangers?
Yeah.
No, Power Rangers change their monster every week.
Sometimes.
I mean, you'd have them come back, but then you'd have Goldar, and then you'd become Super Goldar in the island, and it was really exciting.
Goldar was the best part.
Exactly. So, I mean, I wouldn't knock it. Like, it can be good, but it has to have some sort of variety. That just sounds like budget cuts, is that they can only afford to animate one monster.
Okay, so they had other monsters, but almost consistently, the two main characters in, like, their giant robot only fought one monster, and by all regards, should not have lived fighting it the first time. Because they're in a training mech with no armor or weapons.
That's the power of protagonist. I mean, I can believe that. We're just really good at robots, guys.
Oh, no. Power of protagonist. This girl gets everyone killed episode one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, she finds the robot. It sets off a bunch of chain reactions, and then the monster shows up and just kills all their friends.
Oh, literally, it's got that Sword Art Online vibe.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm not gonna. Thank you for warning me, because I hate when they do that with main characters. By somehow their backstory flaw is they killed all their friends and it's their fault. And I'm like, I'm not going to sympathize with this character going further. Like, it's
not both of their faults. It's just the sisters.
Yeah, there's two main characters.
Great.
There's technically three. No, there's technically four. Oh my god. There's
like I just met the kid who was in the tank.
Oh, you mean Boy?
Yeah. Oh, they haven't changed that?
No, his name is just Boy.
They really don't even try.
Oh, okay, no. Kratos.
That's lazy.
Hey!
I've got...
No, okay, for Kratos, it's different because that's his son. If they just name a character Boy...
Even, like, the Wikipedia page that I'm looking at that has all the names on it, they add one word to it that I can't say because it'll spoil it for Rob. Unless he wants to take off his headphones for a second. So they changed it to Kaiju Boy.
Oh. Because
he's a kaiju.
Oh, no. They angered him.
They sure did.
Man,
oh, see, that's my problem with the Pacific Rim franchise, because the first one was at least a cool idea. We're going to have robots that fight monsters, and I guess they link up, sure. But then the second movie turned it into, like, Hunger Games teens as a team fighting the monster for some reason. Like, they were trying to tap into that YA market, and I'm like,
Dear Hollywood executives, if you're ever thinking, what can we do for a sequel, Kid Sidekick is the worst thing you can do. It never, ever works.
Hey, no, the thing is, for sequels, I agree, but it did work for Terminator 2.
I think everyone can kind of...
That is the one exception.
Like, it has to be done well. The thing is, and there's also been, like, sequels where they do, like, the next generation of stuff, and I can deal with that. It just wasn't interesting. So hearing that their approach to anime is, hey, you know what? We're going to take Sword Art Online and Attack on Titan and just kind of mash them together and go like that. Yeah, I'm going to skip it.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. The show only had, like, three cool things to it.
What were the cool things?
Yeah, I did, because I just have to. One was the thing I just mentioned that Rob didn't hear that we don't want to tell him.
Okay.
Good.
Second is essentially an interrogation using memory, memory sticks, and I don't remember what the actual program's called. What?
Drifting.
Yeah, they use drifting as like an interrogation method. Drove the guy nuts, and they're like, "Now we know everything." And then the third thing was the Kaiju Jaeger hybrid.
I can't wait to see that fully because I've only seen it in the silhouettes.
Oh, they Mecha Godzilla one of them?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I still don't like it. It looks cool, but that's about it.
That's kind of been theme for Pacific Rim. Is like, it looks cool, but that's kind of about it.
I mean, even the first one, the story's not that deep. It's giant monsters fighting giant robots.
That's why I was disappointed. Guillermo del Toro
knows what to give.
Okay, but like, isn't that all you guys really want ever? Is like, that's the formula, isn't it? Giant robots fighting giant monsters?
But that's Chris's complaint. They just fight the same monster over and over again.
And not in the same, episode 1, episode 4, and then like the last, it's not even 4 times. It's like 3.
Oh, no. I mean, that was our problem with the first Godzilla, is that there wasn't enough monster in it.
Yeah. Like, the first Pacific Rim, actually, I think, had so many different monsters. They gave them all cool names, different category systems. We got to see, I think, like, 4 or 5 different Jaegers.
Yeah, like, there was a big, good variety. And, like, our main complaint was, like, why don't you use that super sword just every time? Just go, hey, bank. Got another one, bank. Why don't all of them have the super sword? Every Jaeger should be equipped with super sword that just goes, bank.
I don't even want to talk about the Jaeger thieves.
Are they not cool?
It's a strip down. No, there's only one Jaeger.
That's oh,
not counting the Kaiju hybrid. We're not gonna count that for obvious reasons. But one Jaeger that had no weapons, right? No armor, and an AI with a slowly dying power cell.
Huh. It sounds like budget cuts the show.
Yep.
Yeah. And somehow didn't die to the first Kaiju they met.
That's really painful, because especially when you move it into animation, that was the whole reason I was excited for it. It was like, well, if they're doing animation, that means they can do anything. They can have hundreds of monsters, tons of different robots, and I'll get excited about that. But the fact that they went a cheaper way of making more Pacific Rim, but then didn't invest enough to even do that, interestingly, like having it more stripped down from even the movies is a real disappointing, considering that you can do anything when it's animation.
Like, there are like other Jaegers in the show, but for the most part you see the one Jaeger through the entirety of the show. That's it. And the most they do with it besides fighting the same monster is walking.
So it's also Lord of the Rings.
They're walking the city.
Nice Lord of the Rings.
I had hopes. I had real hopes for the show. Like, when the show about apartments, like fighting on top of like buildings, is better than the show about giant robots, that's not good. That's really not good.
Well, I mean, there's one more thing we did this week, Kyle. Of course, we dived into a very special show, and that is the Disney Channel 2008. World Games. That's the only thing I want to talk about. We have a new favorite sport. It's the Disney Channel 2008 World Games. I don't even remember. That's not the actual title.
Disney Channel Games 2008.
Thank you. Not that there was a 2009 or 2010.
They changed afterwards to Friends of Disney Channel Games 2009.
But that wasn't on Disney Plus, so that made me sad.
Yeah, that one was not on Disney Plus.
Was this the one where all the Disney TV shows did a bunch of games and different teams and all that?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I thought it was.
Yeah,
I remember this.
We had
no recollection of this. I just put it on one day. And like, we picked our teams. I think mine was green.
Yeah, you were with the Cyclones, I think, was the green team. And I was with Yellow the Comets, because I picked, before they were actually had picked the roster, I went, I'm whatever team Corey in the house is on.
Yep.
Did you win?
We came in second.
Did Kyle win?
No.
No.
Yeah. Kyle doesn't win.
Kyle tied for third.
Hey, game's rigged.
No, okay.
The whole show's rigged.
Maybe, maybe not.
You know it's rigged. By the way, okay, I'm going to point this out before we get started. Whoever gave these kids guitars needs to be fired. every single scene in between every single game, one of them's just like twiddling in the tent with a guitar, and like I hated that kid immediately.
But it happened several times. Like each team, like, you know, they'd be in their tent waiting for the next game, and then suddenly one of them has a guitar, and it's like, well, I guess.
Half of all musicians. I understand, like, the Jonas Brothers are there, so you can give them guitars. But, like, does every Disney Channel kid, in order to be a star, have to learn guitar?
Yes.
Yes.
It's, like, in their contract. It's, like, mandatory.
And then Miley Cyrus performed once, but wasn't a part of the games because she wasn't, like, needed.
They had 37 contestants, which makes me feel like there was three that they invited and they said no. Where Miley's like, yeah, I'll do a concert, but no, I'm not building anything. I'm busy. But I don't know. I don't know who the other two, because does 38 divide into four? I don't think so. No, I had to math for a second there. So I have a feeling there were three invited Disney stars that were missing. Raven Simone also was not there, but they had.
Oh, yeah, because they had the Cheetah Girls.
They had the Cheetah Girls. They had the other three Cheetah Girls that weren't Raven Simone.
Because that's the Cheetah Girls everyone knows.
And for some reason, the Sprouse twins were late, so they didn't show up for the first day.
They had a whole skit where they were, like, in a limo, and they just didn't show up. So that means two teams for the first, like, day of games were handicapped, and no one said anything. Oh, that's right. I had the Wiener Sprouse twin.
Yeah.
Right. I had the one that showed his wiener later in life.
Yeah, you had Dylan. Well, not intentionally.
Yeah. Well, you'd still, you know.
You can see.
You had... In defense, though, you also had Jughead.
No, it's the other one.
That's the other one.
Yeah, yeah. I think Cole is...
One got a career and the other one, not so much.
The other one's cosplayer.
He had Dylan Sprouse. That's a step down. I mean, or up. I don't know. I don't know what the trajectory is from The Suite Life.
Down.
I don't know either. Oh, yeah, the host guy was from, like, The Suite Life, Zach and Cody, but nobody knew who he was.
He was a janitor.
Esteban.
Yeah, but like
the janitor, not the bellboy.
Oh.
Yeah, but like he was so excited, like all jazzed up, but like nobody cared.
No.
Like it was Disney Channel spirit gone right.
They were so indifferent. There were so many of them indifferent to being there. Well, you had the couple of
my
the international ones.
To be.
Well, the international Disney stars, I think, had the most enthusiasm because they wanted to, you know, have attention and stuff. But then a lot of them are just like, I guess I'm here. Like, Red Team comes out just, you know, casually as the other ones are, like, coming out and cheering. And they're like, woo! And they're like, I guess. Yeah, we're here.
So, oh, yeah, we're supposed to cheer. Woo.
There was only one game that I'm going to cop to being rigged. And it was the one that my team dominated in when they had foosball. But one of them.
Yeah, because you had the pro soccer player on your team for some reason.
Hold on. Like, I don't think pro soccer translates to foosball.
But it's human foosball.
It was like you're standing there kicking the soccer ball into the other opponent's net. If you could kick the some of these kids kicked the soccer ball and it went into the stratosphere in the next set of the concert like 2 days later. This guy was like Metal Gear Solid Sniper Snake, like in the corner, was able to hit like backwards flip Luigi's Super Mansion kick into the net.
To be fair, we learned out Kevin Jonas is actually a pretty solid goalie.
Jonas Brothers performed like four times, but nobody cared.
No, there was one girl in the front row on her phone not caring, which was hilarious, but they were also quite a few screaming.
Dude, did you literally just see a Twitter post from Dylan Sprouse?
No.
Oh, see what he was doing, and I found out.
And Andrew looked up, Chris looked up Dylan Sprouse's Twitter, and turns out he's playing Genshin Impact.
Oh, okay. I guess he's a Twitch streamer now.
He doesn't have a Twitch link. I'm looking at I'm still got his Twitter open.
Oh, no.
So
do we need to check on Dylan Sprouse? Is he okay?
Oh, apparently he's got a show coming up.
Yeah, he's also been playing a lot of Animal Crossing.
It's not Recovery, is it?
No, it's called The Sex Lives of College Something.
Oh no, that's kind of
this
the same
thing.
This is a
weird sequel.
Yeah, we're this is what's happening to the Sprouse boys.
He played Kingdom Hearts 3.
It's my theory. Disney takes all their child stars, turns them crazy, so you'll never believe the stories they tell about Disney because they're nuts.
He retweeted Diablo 4.
Oh no, the
Hillary Duff. Hillary Duff is the only one who hasn't gone nuts.
No, you're thinking
she had a family.
Rob, I'm going to call shenanigans here. I think you're confusing Nickelodeon stars with the Disney stars. The Disney kids have mostly turned out okay.
Like, Miley the only Cyrus. One that,
she's fine.
Absolutely fine. She's a very chill, down-to-earth individual. She just started smoking pot openly, and that's what made America go nuts. And she's like, I don't care.
Imagine if your entire childhood was listening to Achy Breaky Heart on repeat as you traveled the country.
Okay, fine.
Miley Cyrus going crazy. Miley Cyrus going crazy is just, you know, owning her sexuality as an 18-year-old and doing salvia and pot. Miley Cyrus did not go crazy. She is absolutely fine. She is a very sane individual. But then you look at the other ones. Well, the Jonas Brothers are absolutely fine, all three of them. Nick Jonas, I am now a huge fan of. I was never a fan of the Jonas Brothers. I am a fan of Nick Jonas's acting career.
I thought there were four Jonas Brothers.
There's three.
Well, there's three that were like a part of life.
Famous.
If there's a fourth one, it might be like the Baldwin twins where there's like one that just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But no, Disney stars tend to... I think Britney is really the only one that went off the rail. And that was far, far after Disney.
She's reining it back now, too.
I mean, there's a whole Free Britney thing, and I haven't watched the documentary yet. I eventually will go to it, and we will collectively apologize to Chris Crocker because maybe we should have left Britney alone and not sacrificed her to the corn.
What's wrong with Shia LaBeouf?
No, Shia LaBeouf did go crazy, but I don't blame Disney for that.
He's good now, but there was a while. Do you remember the paper bag?
Cannibalism isn't that bad.
You remember the paper bag, I'm Not Famous?
Yeah, because he wasn't famous anymore. He was like, you know what, I'm not famous anymore.
But he still went to like
Hollywood events. Then he ripped off some comic book and made a movie that's a shot-for-shot remake of the comic book, but claimed he wrote it, and then apologizing, I guess I didn't.
And then what about his whole thing where he sat in a room, people would just come in, and he just sat there.
That's art.
That's art.
Yeah, also, like, what was art as well was stealing his flag.
Oh yeah, they just kept stealing his flag.
Yeah, he kept having a flag up that said like he will not divide us, and it became a game to locate his flag and steal it that the internet would play. They used star charts to figure it out, and had a guy go out and honk a horn till you could hear it on the webcam.
Hey, so you remember when we were talking about WandaVision fan theories and how they get too crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, people use star charts to locate a flag on the earth.
This is why you don't listen. Yeah, that's a good way to cap on the episode. The reason you don't listen to internet fan theories is because the internet is crazy.
Nuts. We're all insane.
Yep.
And on that note, folks, we will wrap up the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, if you want to continue the conversation,